Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, February 28, 2016, Pastor Paul Talbert. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make Him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
In the name of Jesus Christ, my dear friends and fellow believers, again, you see God's great compassion. Again, we see our incredible rebellious attitude. He does a magnificent job, once again, of putting everything all into one little story. The story is supposed to help us understand how God works in this world. How does God rule in the hearts of His people? How does God rule in the hearts of His people? He brought to mind this to this sinner who was eating stuff that alongside of pigs. He said, when he came to his senses, when he remembered what was really real, what was really true, what was going on really, and he saw himself for who he was. He was a sinner. He was a rebel. He was an ingrate. He could care less whether his dad lived or died, and so he asked for his dad, since you can't die soon enough, give me my part of the inheritance now. That's cold. That's heartless. That's worse than a stranger treating another stranger. It's his own flesh and blood treating him poorly. Jesus told the story. Everybody was listening. He was directing it towards people who were self-confident, thinking that they were good enough to make it into heaven on their own. But his disciples were listening, just like you and I are listening now. And if we remember, that really does apply to us too. I'm a rebel. God stepped into history to save me because I was lost. In fact, when you and I are honest with ourselves, there are times during the day that we actually enjoy rebelling against God. We enjoy doing something that God says, don't do that. And why is that? It's because we're saturated with sin to our very core. It's a terrible thing. We can't get rid of it. No matter how much you scrub your hands, no matter how many clothes you change, you just can't get rid of sin by doing that kind of stuff. So what did God do? God steps into history. God does something. And the thing that God did, we review every year in great detail. It's called the Passion. It's called Lent. It's called that Holy Week. It's called Good Friday and Easter, where Jesus stepped into history for us. He took up all of our sin, all of our guilt, put it on Himself, and He paid our price. That is what you and I know. Some people don't know that. Some people are going through life thinking that they're good enough for God, that they do things their way, and they try to balance out, you know, all the bad they've done with good that they've done and make sure that the good that they've done is better than the good that you've done. Well, then God will kind of make it okay and they can kind of get into heaven maybe through the back door. But there is no back door. There are no multiple gates into heaven. There is one gate, one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Some people don't know that. Some people hear that and say, well, God's going to make an exception in my case. Those are the people that need to hear this story. And they need to hear from your lips as you're talking to them, your friends, family members, next door neighbors, fellow workers, whoever they might be. There are people in this world who are lost. And guess what? I'm one of them and you're one of them. But God has found the lost and He's rescued us. The really cool thing about this story that Jesus told is that when the Son comes and He confesses everything to his dad doesn't say, you know, you need to tell that to everybody here. He doesn't walk him around the city and have him undo the terrible dishonor he did when he left. He doesn't even have him go up to his brother and say, you know, this is what happened here, and I'm, you know, I was a cad. No, His father says, "You're back. You're found. You are dead, now you're alive." And he proclaims the good news to his boy, who's on his knees, trying really hard to just be a hired hand. And dad says, no, you are part of my family. And he brings him in. And the guy's not sure. The dad does not want the son to be unsure of his standing. So what does he do? He takes the signet ring, the special ring of the family, puts it on him, clothes him, puts shoes on his feet. And the servants of the household are doing it for him. He proclaims with his mouth and he proclaims with his actions that this person was lost, was dead, but that's all changed. And now he's found, and now he's alive, and that's all the difference in the world. That's the proclamation. That's what you and I hear proclaimed Sunday by Sunday. That's what you and I hear proclaimed when we talk to our friends, when we open up our Bibles and read and study God's Word. That's what we find, God proclaiming that good news to us. And you know why we need to hear it again and again? Because we have such a strong, rebellious nature that we say, "Well, God, you can't forgive me because I am too bad. You can't forgive me. I'm just such a louse. You can't forgive me because I have just ruined everything for everybody. I am just low-life scum, Lord. I am not good. I am not good." It's like if this boy would have gone back into the pig pen and started eating this pig slop. No, we don't do that. We don't call God a liar. If God the Father says, "You are part of my family, and I am not bringing up your sins anymore," then we say, okay. One of the great verses of the scripture that helps Christians, you and me, as we go through life and we're kind of struggling, how in the world am I supposed to get through life knowing that I am a sinner in need of saving and yet knowing that I am saved? How do I get through that? You do what the Apostle Paul did. Do you remember the Apostle Paul? In case you're not familiar, the Apostle Paul started off as a guy by the name of Saul. He calls himself a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a top-notch do-gooder. And he was going to show everybody, particularly God, how good Saul was. He was going to start to take out the Christians. And so he did. House by house. He arrested Christians and threw them in jail, killing them. Separated families, causing great grief. That's the man who Saul was. Then the Lord appeared to him, changed him around, and made sure that he understood what grace was. And Saul became Paul, one of the Lord's apostles. And you just couldn't shut him up. Oh, they tried. They tried beating him. They tried whipping him. They tried all sorts of things, but nothing seemed to keep this man quiet. And why was that? Because he knew that he was lost and was found. He could not keep quiet. God had opened up his eyes. And one of the things that God told him to do was write a letter to a group of Christians in Rome. And when you read Romans, as I pray you will, when you get to chapter 8, pause for just a second. Take a deep breath and read verse 1. And then stop for a second and think about that verse. Romans 8, verse 1 was written by a guy who used to kill Christians, thinking he was doing God a favor. It's written by a guy who used to spit on Jesus' name. And then God turned him around. And this man said, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." No condemnation. He was completely free. He didn't do it. God did it for him. God did it to him. God announced to him this good news that your sins are forgiven. He was baptized, made sure that he was connected with Jesus Christ intimately. From that day on, he was not going to be the same old Paul. He's going to be the new Paul, the one who's going to struggle against that sinful nature. And you and I have just heard that news proclaimed again. I was a proclaimer. You heard what I told you. God was speaking to you through me. You need to understand something, that you and I are sinners that God has declared freed. So show it by how you live. Let's show it by not going back to the pig pen, by not running away from Dad again, but by sticking close to him. By when Dad says, come and celebrate, we come and we celebrate. In Jesus' name, my dear friends, let's not forget the proclamation doesn't stop with our ears, but affects our hearts, and then it comes out through our mouth as we share that good news with others, both in what we say and what we show. In Jesus' name, amen.